Srimad Bhagavatam is the full realization of Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva compiled many scriptures, Vedanta and the Veda, which is for the upliftment of human society. He was thinking to benefit everyone. He had compiled many scriptures, and he saw in the future of Kali Yuga, people would be less intelligent. People's lives would be short, their memories would be very short. They're not very intelligent, they're dull. They're disturbed, mentally disturbed, mental illness. So many problems. So he compiled Mahabharata, which is story. And within the Mahabharata, he put Bhagavad Gita, things like this. But even after compiling all of these things, for the less intelligent people also, he compiled, he was not satisfied. And at that moment, his spiritual master, Sri Narad Muni, appeared and told him, "You have not yet fully described the eternal loving pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead exclusively. Exclusively, you had not done it. You had mixed so much karma, jnana, yoga with bhakti. It was not clear. You have not clearly pointed it out." No, he told him, "You should compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is not an ordinary book. It's not ordinary shastra. It's not an ordinary shastra. It's Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. This Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore we say this thing, that it is the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures. And by regular hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of the pure devotees." You must hear from the Bhagavad devotee. You must hear about Krishna from the devotees, not a professional reciter. No. The person must be a pure devotee. And if you hear from the lips of pure devotees Srimad Bhagavatam, then immediately all your ignorance will be removed. All your ignorance will be removed immediately. And you will know clearly what is loving service to the Supreme Lord. This is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says this Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. It's as brilliant as the sun. And those persons who are intelligent, they get light from Srimad Bhagavatam. They get the light of the Supreme Lord. And even in the dark age of Kali, they have no fear. Ignorance causes fear, worry, anxiety. All of our anxieties and worries are because of ignorance. When the ignorance is removed, immediately we get relief and our life becomes auspicious. Auspicious. And we're marching towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're moving towards the ultimate goal of life. This is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we move to the ultimate, supreme, absolute truth. When we move towards Krishna, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andaka, immediately all the darkness of ignorance will be removed. Immediately. Just like I may be living in a cave, a dark, very dark, cave. And as soon as I go outside, I'm in the sunlight. So that we said, Tamasima Jyotigrama, yesterday. Move from the darkness. Move from the darkness to the light. Okay. This, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj, you are certainly a self-realized soul and a devotee of the Supreme Lord. You do not care for public opinion or so-called scriptures. For this reason, I have described to you without hesitation the history of my self-realization. A person who is actually a devotee of Krishna does not care about so-called public opinion and Vedic or philosophical literatures. Prahlad Maharaj, who is such a devotee, always defied the false instructions of his father and the so-called teachers who were appointed to teach him. Instead, he simply followed the instructions of Narada Muni, his guru, and then he always remained a stalwart devotee. This is the nature of an intelligent devotee. The Srimad Bhagavatam instructs, Yagya Sankatana Praye Yujantihi Sumeda Saha. One who is actually very intelligent must join the Krishna consciousness movement, realizing his own self as an eternal servant of Krishna, and thus practice constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation, Prahlad Maharaj, you are certainly a self-realized soul and a devotee of the Supreme Lord. You do not care for public opinion or so-called scriptures. For this reason, I've described to you without hesitation the history of my self-realization. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande sri gurum dinatarine paramananda madhavam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So we've been hearing in this chapter some very mysterious things. Very mysterious. How can we understand these things? This personality who was lying in the road, covered in dirt, didn't take a bath. He was not taking any bath. Some say that he never even moved. He would just pass stool where he was lying. He never cared for anything. He's a madman? He must be a madman, correct? Because he was so fat. Prahlad Maharaj was very curious. Who's maintaining him? Who is maintaining this person? Who's just lying in the road? He's lying on the side of the road. The people passing, they're giving him food. Why? What is inspiring them? And what is going on in the mind of this person? Why is this being told to us in Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the purpose of this story? That we should lie in the road like a madman? Do you think that's what it means? To become Krishna conscious? What's the purpose? Prahlad Maharaj, he was curious. And because he's a devotee of the Lord, He's aman and amana dena. That means he's ready to offer all respects to others. He's ready. Are you ready to offer respect to a madman in the road? Very dirty. Very dirty person. He would have had long hair, right? Very long, matted locks, dreadlocks, right? Are you ready to offer respect to a person with dreadlocks? You should be ready to offer respect to any person. That's the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. We should offer respect to everyone, even a dog. Even a dog. What to speak of human beings? All living beings, we should be ready to offer respect. That happened to Arjuna also. He had to offer respect to a dog once. You know that story? He became proud. He thought to himself, I have heard Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead myself. Yeah, and now I know so much knowledge. I'm very great. He was thinking in his mind like this. After the battle of Kurukshetra, he was thinking, I'm very great. I have such great knowledge now. And Krishna showed me so many things. He showed me his universal form. I know everything. He was thinking, I know everything now. Krishna showed me his universal form. And he showed me his four-armed form of Narayan. Now I know everything. He was thinking. Became proud. And Krishna knows. So they were riding on chariot. They were riding on the chariot around the battlefield. Looking. There's so many dead bodies lying there. And Krishna purposefully drove the chariot near one. A forest dog. One dog that lives in the forest. One kind of dog that lives in the forest. And it was there on the battlefield. And it was going around the dead bodies. Sniffing. Sniffing the bodies. And it's a very thin dog. And Arjuna's looking. Why is this dog not eating? Why is it not eating the dead bodies? That's what the food is for the dog. The dead body. And that's the destination of the body. You should understand, that's the destination of this body. That's what the Shastra says. It's just going to be food for other living beings, or burned. That's the destination of the body. So Arjuna was watching this dog, and the dog was sniffing here and sniffing there, and running and sniffing another body, and not eating. And Arjuna was, what kind of stupid dog is this? He's a stupid dog. He was thinking so, and he said, hey, stupid dog, just eat. Then Krishna spoke to that dog and asked the dog, hey, dog, why are you not eating? And that dog immediately came before Krishna and paid dandavat. The dog paid dandavat to Krishna. And Arjuna, what is this? And then that dog spoke. He says, yes, you are the Supreme Lord, how can I serve you? And Krishna said, why are you not eating? You are just sniffing here and there and you are not eating. And I said, I'm a devotee dog. You see, I'm a devotee dog, Lord, and I'm sniffing. If I smell one leg that has been walking on pilgrimage, I'll eat it because it's prasad. But if that leg has not been used for walking on pilgrimage, I won't eat that thing. And I'll smell that hand. I'll smell that hand. And if that hand has not offered worship to you, I won't eat it. It's not Passover. And I'll sniff that eye. And if that eye has been looking on the form of the Lord, then it's Passover. I will eat it. But if it's not Passover, I will not eat it. Like this. He was saying like this. And Arjuna was, oh my. I thought he was an ordinary dog. And who am I? I'm an offender. I'm an offender. I've become an offender. Because I was not prepared to offer respect. You understand? He'd become proud. If there's pride, then you are not prepared to offer respect. He's just a dog. So Arjuna had to get down from his chariot. He had to get down and pay his obeisances to the dog. And pay his obeisances to the dog. And Sivananda Sena also, when he was going to Jagannath Puri, one dog began to follow the devotees. Also, another dog. But Sivananda Sen, he immediately thought, this dog is following the devotees. Therefore, he gave the dog respect. He gave the dog respect. He gave the dog prasad. And every day he would make sure the dog got some prasadam. Then one day, Sivananda Sen was very busy paying taxes on the road, because he used to help the devotees travel from Bengal to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra, and he's arranging some toll on a toll gate, toll man on the road. So he was there for some time. He didn't come back to the devotees until late. And when he got back, he asked the devotees, did the dog get his prasad? The devotees, no, that dog did not get prasad. Why he did not get his food? We did not see him. Okay, find that dog. He sent 10 men. You, go find that dog and bring him. And Sivananda Sen would not eat. Until the dog has eaten. He said, I'll not eat until the dog has eaten. Is Sivananda Sen a madman? Is he mad? It's just a dog. It's just a dog, isn't it? Or is it? Anyway, they could not find that dog anywhere. They could not find that dog anywhere. That dog just disappeared. So Sivananda Sen was very unhappy. Oh, what happened to the dog? He was coming with us. You see, Sivananda Sen even had paid for one boatman to help the dog cross the river. The boatman wouldn't let the dog in the boat, but Sivananda Sen had to pay. He's taking him to Jagannath Puri. Anyone who goes to Jagannath Puri is liberated. They're liberated. They won't take birth again in this material world. This is the mind of Sivananda Sen. So he's taking this dog back home, back to Godhead. Well, he was going like this. And but when they reached Jagannath Puri, he saw the dog again. The dog was already there, and he was with Lord Chaitanya. The dog was already there. And Lord Chaitanya was taking some coconut malai. It's the white, soft flesh of the inside of a green coconut. And he was throwing it to the dog. And the dog was catching it. And eating it. He was throwing this. And then he told the dog, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And the dog began dancing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Sivananda Sen was, oh, this dog is chanting Hare Krishna. Can a dog chant Hare Krishna? Is it possible? Is it possible? Well, I'm a dog and it's possible. I'm less than a dog. Well, if it's possible for someone who's less than the dog, I mean, the dog can turn. And so in this way, Sivan understands, saw the dog chanting, and immediately he fell down, Dandabad, to the dog. And he was thinking, oh, maybe I committed some offense. Maybe I committed some offense. He paid full Dandabad pranam to the dog. And that dog disappeared. Nobody knew where that dog went. All the devotees said, that dog had gone back home, back to Godhead. That dog had gone back home, back to Godhead. The very next day, like this. So these stories are there. They are describing the characteristics of a perfect person. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita. It means the character of the living force in immortality. It's the character of the living force in immortality. We have to understand this. This is not possible to be understood by reading book. You can read many books. And in the university, there is many professors who've read all of these books. More than you. And they write thesis, PhD, thesis on these subjects. While they're smoking and drinking like this. And they think, we're very intelligent. You cannot understand by studying so many commentaries, tikas. You can only understand by what? Bhakti. Bhakcha mam abhijanati yavanyashchasmi tatvata. Only bhakti. Only bhakti. Not by academic study. Not by making so many inquiries. Or sitting in so many classes, even. You have to develop bhakti to understand Krishna. That is there. And that is being said here. That he explained to Prahlad. He spoke to Prahlad his most confidential understanding, which is not to be given out. It cannot be given out. It's kept secret. If somebody asks you, what is your confidential secret? You're just going to tell anybody? Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, he says, this knowledge cannot be spoken to someone who is not austere, faithful, devoted. Don't speak it. It's to be spoken to who? The devotees. Krishna gave it in the confidential knowledge, more confidential knowledge, and most confidential knowledge. This knowledge is not to be given to envious people who are only looking for fault in Krishna and the devotees. What do they say? Oh, you're all brainwashed. You're all brainwashed. You're just chanting all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you don't think about anything other than Krishna. You don't talk about anything other than Krishna. They try and divert you. They see us. They think, oh, you people are misled. They think you may be misled. You should be engaged in economic development. Isn't it? My parents, Oh, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. You're just not engaged in it. You could be so successful. And you left your family. When my mother had, you've left your wife? Are you mad? What are you going to gain? What do you hope to gain? They cannot understand. And they think, what is the profit? What profit do you get out of having a temple here? What benefit do temples give? And you people dancing on the street and making so much loud noise, banging those things. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, boom, boom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Like this. And what is the purpose of this thing? Are you all mad? How will it make any money? Will it make any money? Jai Radha Gokulananda ki, jai. They cannot understand it. It is beyond them. And if you try to tell them, they'll only criticize it. They'll only criticize it. Jesus Christ used to say, don't throw your pearls to the swines. The swine is only interested in eating what? Stool. They are interested in stool. For the devotee, it's stool. Jara. Jara also means material energy. Stool and material energy have got the same name. And it also means dumb. Ignorant. Means ignorant also. Like this. So people are absorbed in this material energy. This we've been hearing. They're absorbed in material energy, the external energy. The skin. The skin. What is it? What is it? Here it's been defined. It's not real. It's not you. You're thinking it's you. You're thinking it's me. I can feel it. So many devotees say, but I can feel it. I can feel it. Yes, you're feeling the pain, aren't you? Because you're so absorbed in it. Just like if you go to the movies. Now they have very big movie theaters. The skin goes right around you. IMAX. And very powerful sound vibration. Very comfortable chair. You can't even feel your body. They know how to set it up. You can't feel your body. And a very big screen. And very powerful sound vibration. You forget everything. You forget everything outside of that cinema. And you become absorbed in a dream. In a dream. It's like a dream on the screen. Just like when you dream at night. It's a screen. And it's a dream. Like this. And when you see that you become so absorbed, you laugh. Ha ha ha. Amazing, wonderful. And then, and you cry. And even sometimes they portray, the hero is killed. I cannot tolerate it. Even when you come out of the movie, you're still, oh my God, what did I just see? Was it real? Did that really happen? Even there's horror movies where the children end up in psychiatric wards. They become so disturbed. And some people become so absorbed in this movie, they watch it again and again and again and again. Oh, I love that. I love it. Oh, I just love that. I want to watch it again and again and again. Did you do that? When you were a child, right? Yeah. Daffy Duck. Some comedy. I liked comedies myself. I didn't like horror movies. Yeah. And they cause pain. You feel pain. And you feel joy. So similarly, this material world is a dream. It's a dream. Here we was hearing also that you have to merge the material elements back into the mind and the mind into the false ego. That's not just for... You are a yogi. We're called bhakti yogis. And we have to understand what it means. Merging these things in means to understand that this material world is a dream. You're thinking it isn't. You're thinking it is real. But it's not. It's just a screen. And if you peel it off, put it back. It's being projected. It's being projected onto the screen, made of matter, made of material elements. It's just temporary, just like a movie in the theater. Huh? Therefore it says that life is a stage. It's a theater. You're in the theater. And you're playing. Oh, I'm an Englishman. I'm an Irishman. I'm a Scottish man. I'm an Australian. Like this. We're imagining. They're all temporary. They're all temporary. Huh? And we're changing the script, life after life. We're changing the identities. Just like you say, oh, I love the movies. Some people, they say like that. I love my TV. I love my TV. The children, as soon as they come out, when they're born, they get up, they lift their head, and the first thing they see, TV. Nowadays, the first thing they see is the TV. You watching TV? Are you watching TV? No? Don't lie. I used to watch TV. I was addicted to TV. I don't watch TV now. But as a child, I'd come home from school. What about your homework? I've done it. I lied. Huh? So in this way, we become attached. We become attached. Because on the TV, I am the hero. The psychologists, they'd say this thing. We project ourselves. We are projecting ourselves onto the screen. Just as in a dream, you can see yourself running. You can see yourself playing in a dream. And you think, that's me. But you are watching yourself. You understand? You can see that you are separate from the dream. But because you identify with the person in the dream, you think it's you. You understand? So in the cinema, when people see the hero, they're thinking, I'm the hero. Or the villain, I'm the villain. They identify, they project themselves onto these things. And they like it. They're enjoying it. Three modes of material nature. Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattvaguna. They're getting some kind of pleasure here. Like in a dream. You understand? So this material body is like that, and you're caught up in it. And how do you get out? Many devotees ask, oh, how do I get out? It sounds too simplistic, chanting Hare Krishna. I'm still in a dream and I'm chanting Hare Krishna in a dream. Isn't it? You're still in the dream, but you're chanting Hare Krishna in the dream. I'm not getting out of the dream. I'm chanting Hare Krishna in the dream now. But here, something more is given. Something more is being given. Rahasya is confidential. Something more. What did he say? He says he doesn't see pebbles or gold as the same. Oh, they are the same. Pebbles and gold are the same. He doesn't value anything in this material world. He doesn't care whether he's naked or he's wearing clothes. He doesn't care whether he gets a fancy bed or he sleeps on the floor. He doesn't care if he gets stale food or any food or prasad. What is he thinking? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains this thing. You have to meditate on this. You have to meditate on that you are going to die. That you're going to die. Don't think you're going to stay here in this world. Think that you are going to die in a week, 7 days. Like Parikshit Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada would say, you don't even know if you've got 7 days. But Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days. If you think, I'm going to die, seriously, take it seriously. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would say that this is the best thing you can do. Of course, many people say, that's very morose. But for a devotee, it's not morose. For a materialist, to die seems like, well, that'll be the end of everything. Oh, my whole life, my world, it will be ended. But for the devotee, it's not the end. It's the beginning. When you accept your death, it's the beginning. Well, if you're going to die in 7 days, what will you do? If I gave you 7 days to live, would you still be thinking the same way as what you were? No, you won't. You'll start thinking, what is in my best interest? As a devotee, from a materialist point of view, he'll just be thinking, well, I better make a will. I better make sure I've seen all my friends. You know, I'm not going to go to work. I'm just going to sit in the bar and drink. Or sit in front of the TV. For a materialist, it sounds like, oh, that's really bad news. But for a devotee, if he hears he's got 7 days to live, he immediately thinks, very good. I will take full shelter of Krishna. I will take full shelter of Krishna, and constantly I will chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, again and again and again. And I will hear about Krishna with rapt attention. Like Parikshit Maharaj hearing from Sukadev Goswami. Oh, I will hear. And I will prepare to go home back to Godhead. To get out of here. I'll take it seriously. And we've just heard that thing. That only those who are serious can become self-realized. Only the serious. It's not something that I can just do, You know, I'm serious about making money. I'm serious about sense gratification. I come to the temple and I pray, give me money, give me money. Give me strength and health so I can enjoy. But if I told you, you're going to die. Then, then what am I going to do? I'm here, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. I should engage in serving Krishna. I should engage in serving Krishna. And the best kind of service in Kali Yuga is the Sankirtan Yajna. So devotees are very fortunate. The devotees are very fortunate because they get this most confidential knowledge. They're given it. Confidential means to understand Aham Brahmasmi. I'm a spirit soul. More confidential means to understand the Paramatma. Then along with me, I'm not alone. Huh? The Supreme Lord is with me. He's making sure I'm okay. And he's giving me the results of my previous activities in the form of this projection on the screen of material energy. But as soon as I take my attention away from the screen, he's sitting next to me. But it's not in the dark. It's not in the dark. It's in the light of transcendental knowledge. The materialists are in the dark. They don't see anything. They just see the screen. They don't know anything beyond it. They don't know what is beyond it or behind it. They only know the screen. Understand? But the devotee, you have got information and you're acting on the understanding that there's something behind this material energy that's making it all work. Just like in the movie theater. There's the projector. Projecting the film. And there's a film man, you know, at the controls. There's so many controls in there. So there's the material body, the subtle body, the false ego, material nature. It's coming out. And it's being projected on the screen. And this is my little universe. I'm walking around in my little universe. Woo! And you've got one. And you've got one. And then there's the manifestation of the earth planet. Here it is. And we're walking around on the earth screen. And then the earth is projected into the universe. With so many planets. But it's all made of matter. But the soul is beyond that, and the super soul has to be reached. You have to reach the super soul by the process of self-realization. You have to go beyond the material energy and the false ego thinking, I am an Englishman. You have to go beyond that. And I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And turn your attention inward to Krishna. And it's not dark, it's all light. And when you understand the super soul is there, then the most confidential knowledge comes available. Bhagavan. The Krishna is available. And Krishna is not just another projection on a screen. No. That's this material energy. It's temporary. It's temporary. And it's not real. But Krishna is known as the reality. He's the supreme reality. The supreme reality, absolute truth. This is the subject of Vedanta. That's why it's very confidential. Who can understand it? You have to be very serious. You have to be serious enough to meditate in that way. And then, as soon as you think, I'm going to die, This body is temporary. Immediately you turn your attention away from gold, money, name and fame. You turn your attention away and immediately you turn it inward to yourself, the soul. Immediately you become very serious about my soul. You're not so serious about the body, the neighbors, the government, the politics, the cricket. Everybody else is so caught up in the cricket. But the devotee is not interested in cricket. Cricket is foolishness, mode of ignorance, forgetfulness. A devotee is only interested in hearing about the soul. And he goes further. He wants to hear about the Paramatma. He wants to hear about the Supreme Soul, Krishna. And he knows that that is the reality. So that is time up. Actually, we should talk about the Supreme Reality, Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, and his loving dealings with his eternal parishads, his associates. And that is the reality. They have eternal loving relationships. If bodies of Sachit Ananda, that is our real interest. So this was this yogi, he's a devotee. And he immediately recognizes Prahlad. He immediately recognizes. So he spoke this confidential knowledge that cannot be spoken to materialists. Materialists will just ridicule it. They will not understand. That's why it's very confidential. But he spoke it to Prahlad, and Prahlad immediately recognized him. Oh, such a sadhu, saintly person. And he's offering all respect to this person who's just lying in the road. He immediately recognizes him. And that is a devotee. You should be ready to offer all respect. And as soon as you recognize such a person. Okay? Does anybody have any question?